Right, in our past shiurim on Eretz HaTzvi, we've already covered a lot of what Rav Shechter has to say on Sfiras HaOmer, and particularly the Gemara Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara tells us that a Meimar Mani Yome V'lo Mani Shvue, a Meimar used to count days but didn't count weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, which is unusual Hanhaga. The Gemara tells us why Omar Zecher LeMikdashu. He said because it's a Zecher LeMikdash. So Rav Shechter has a couple of different mahalchim in how to explain that comment of a Meimar, but that was way back in Eretz HaTzvi, Simon Gimel, and we're not going to go over that right now. You could take a look at what he quotes from the Chizkuni in Parshas Bahar and how that helps us understand. It was way back when we discussed that. But what I want to talk about today is just the very nature of Mrs. Mitzvah Rabbanan in general, because this is what I had to speak about this morning, so I'm sort of ready for it. This is the nature of Mitzvah Smidi Rabbanan in general, and how Svira may be unique in the world of Mitzvah Smidi Rabbanan, right? Meaning, we've mentioned in the past, I think, that you spend a certain amount of time learning from a single Rebbe, and you get certain ideas about Yesodos that form like the bedrock of that Rebbe's Mahalik in learning, right? That are like the Yesodos that keep coming up over and over and over again. So one of the impressions that we got from Rav Shechter was that one of Rav Soloveitchik's favorite Yesodos that he always went back to was called the Tikkun Rabbanan Ken Daraisa Tikkunim. That Chazal tell us every Din Rabbanan in some way or another is patterned after a Din Daraisa. That was like Yesoda Yesodos in his Mahalik in learning. That's how he explained Minhagim. Even Minhagim are always patterned after Dinim, and Dinim are patterned after other Dinim. Everything has some sort of takdim, some sort of precedent in Halacha from something that came earlier. But Rav Shechter points out that it's not only that in these specifics, when the Rabban made this Din or that Din, that they patterned it after some Halacha Midaraisa, but the very categories of Dinim Drabbanan are also patterned after the categories of Dinim Daraisa. What do I mean? If you had to categorize Dinim Daraisa into two categories, how do you categorize Dinim Daraisa? What? So one classic categorization is Bein HaMechaber Bein HaMakom. What's another classic categorization? Asay and Los Asay, right? Dinim Darabanan, obviously there are going to be some that are Bein HaMechaber Bein HaMakom, but they also are some Asay and some Los Asay. But we don't call them Asays and Los Asays because they're not in the Torah. What do we call them? Gzeros and Takanos, or if we're going in order, Takanos and Gzeros. Right? Asays, Takanos are Asays. What would be an example of Takanos? Kriyas HaMegillah, Ner Chanukah, right? The Rabbanan are Misakein a Mitzvah Saseh. And then you have Los Saseh. Los Saseh are the Gzeros. Don't do this. Why not? Lest you come to, or because it's similar to, or whatever the motivation for Gzeros war. Now, whenever you deal with any Din to Rabbanan, first question you have to ask yourself is, who gave them the right? Meaning, God gave us a Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima. It is complete, it is perfect, there's nothing wrong with the Torah Hashem. Where in the world did the Rabbanim get the right to make their dinim? But that question is different when you're talking about Gzeros than it is when you're talking about Takanos. Or, I shouldn't say the question is different, the answer might be different in Gzeros and Takanos. So what we'll do today is, as is Shem Yisparach, is we'll explain where the Rabbanim got the right to make Gzeros. And then, just as an add-on to that, because we find that the Rabbanan didn't only make gzeros to enhance Dinei HaTorah, every once in a while they made a gzera to be oker Davar Min HaTorah. They went against Divrei Torah. So where did they get that right from? Then discuss where did they have the right, where did they ever get the right to make Takanos? And then, maybe, if time permitting, or your desire permitting, discuss where Sfiras HaOmer fits in, meaning not just what category it fits in, but how Sfiras HaOmer has a separate kiyum. That Sfiras HaOmer may be a third kiyum in addition to the pasuk that tells us that they can make zeros and the pasuk that tells us that they can make takanos. There's something else, there's another kiyum specifically in Sfiras HaOmer, because we pasuk, of course, Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan, right? We pasuk not like Shitas Rambam that Sfiras HaOmer is the right. So we pasuk Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh is only midrabbanan. So where in the world do they get the right to make gzeros? There's a sugi in Yevamos Daf Chaf Aleph. The Gemara discusses how Shlomo HaMelech was allowed to forbid shnios la'arayos. Well, we just read yesterday's parasha. the end of yesterday's parasha, Kriyas HaTorah of Mincha and Yom HaKippurim, all the arayos that you can't do bestiality and homosexuality and incest and all of the an Ashes ish and all of the Gshmaka, Yisurim of arayos. So good. So you have all the arayos in the Torah. Comes along Shlomo HaMelech and says, and also your babi. Right, shnios la'arayos, but it doesn't say that in the Torah. Where does Shlomo HaMelech have the right to make new shnios la'arayos? So the Gemara tells us that this was a kiyum, was based on ushmartim es mishmarti, pasuk says, which we understand means asu mishmeres limishmarti, that Hashem was telling the Rabbanan, you should make a mishmeres, you should make a protective fence around my mishmeres, around my Torah. So the Torah specifically authorizes the Rabbanan to make protective measures around the Torah itself. In fact, the Mishnah formulates this very, very clearly in the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. Asu siyagu Torah. Make a fence around the Torah, protect the Torah by building fences around it. Rav Shach points out, since Sharm and Parakir Aleph develops the idea that this is really not a chavas hatzibur, it's really a chavas hayachid, that each and every individual is charged with the responsibility of making a mishmeres. Meaning, if I know that I have weakness in a certain area, that I have an unusual desire to eat basar b'chalav, let's say, more so than I do to wear shatnez or to, do shechut echot or whatever, but that like one desire of basar b'chalav, so then I need to make an extra mishmeres around Bas B'chalav. I mean, that's my responsibility. I have this. What the Rabbanan do is essentially noticing that the community has a weakness, that the community as a whole, that the tzibur has a weak spot where we are likely to violate a din d'oraisa, and that's where they make zeros. But Mesil Sharm said, at its core, it's really a chavos yachid, that each and every one of us has to know what our weaknesses are and therefore protect ourselves from violating din d'oraisa. An interesting point. But that only tells us, Mishmati only tells me that the Rabbanan have the right to protect us from violating din d'oraisa. It does not seem to tell me that the Rabbanan have the right to tell me to go against the din in the Torah because they're so nervous that I'm going to violate din A, they tell me to violate din B so that I don't violate din A. Where do they do that? So we have that in a few places in Torah. Where do they, in Chazal, where do they do that? The Rabbanan are okay to the Torah. Xeri de Rabba, right? The Gemara tells us, really on a Daraisa level you blow shofar even on Shabbos. Really on a Daraisa level you take lulav even on Shabbos. Oh, but Xeri, Shema Yavriyana Daladamas Barushas Rabbin, but we're afraid you're going to violate Hotzah on Shabbos, you're going to carry it in Rishas Rabbin. So don't do the mitzvah Daraisa of shofar. The Rabbanan are being okir davar min haTorah. Mehechi tesi, they have the right to do such a thing. To be okir davar min haTorah, to uproot something in the Torah. So where that right comes from may depend on how you resolve a famous stira that Rav Shaptah loves to talk about. There's a stira between a Sifri that Rashi quotes and a Mishnah in Horios that the Ramban emphasizes. The Sifri that Rashi quotes on the Pasuk, Lo sasur min haDavar asher yagidu l'cha yiminu smal. So you know the famous Rashi? You know this.
Even if they say that the right is left
and
left.
No, small, well, small shu yamin. Do what the Rabbanim tell you, even if they tell you your right is your left and your left is your right. I remember I had a Talmud in, not in DRS, in Leif Shlomo, in the post-high school yeshiva in DRS, that we had a Talmud who used to make Purim videos, and his Purim videos were pranks that he would play on unsuspecting high school kids. So, like, once he pretended to be a representative of Yeshivat Netivarye, and he did interviews with the boys, and he'd be like, so we're a little uncomfortable with your girlfriend, and like, and he would just like say like extremely awkward things, and he would get them to like admit like, it's not really me. I mean, we're really so much boyfriend and girlfriend. Anyway, so he did. He has one video that once he got married, his wife didn't allow him to post these anymore. But he had one video that never got posted of him walking into the Kaylee mikvah with a bathing suit and a towel, like some unsuspecting woman is stumbling Caleb. And he's like, "How's the water today?" but he had one where he was a driving instructor. So he put on like a fake mustache and a hat and sunglasses. And I don't know if he worked out with the school or with the real driving instructor that he was taking kids on their road test. So So it was, he mounted a camera in the car, and he would say to the kids, okay, at the end of, at the stop sign, make a right. So the kid made a right, and he would say, I said right, why did you make a left? And then he again, make a left. And the kid would make a left. And say, I said left. Why did you make a right? And then the kid hopping that this guy doesn't know his rights and lefts. The next time he said, you know, make a right. And the kid makes a left because the kid is adjusting to his language, right? He says, what's the matter with you? You don't know your rights and lefts? What's wrong with you? Right? So, so, Apila Omlchal Yamin Shu Smol. That's what I really think of. Al Yamin Shu Smol, Val Smol Shal Yamin. Even if they tell you that your right is your left, or your left is your right. That's what the Chum tell you. You got to listen to the Chum. That's what Rashi calls him the Sifri. If Omlchal Yamin Shu Smol, Val Smol Shal Yamin. Yeah? Comes the Ramban, and the Ramban says, nice, but that's against the Mishnah in Haryos. Masechus Haryos is, you know, it's the shortest Masechus in Shas, daf-wise, right? The shortest Masechus in Shas, but it's really, really hard. So what's the yisod of the entire Masechus? Is that Rabbanim aren't perfect. Even the Beis HaGadol is not perfect. Sometimes they make mistakes. And there's a mechanism for kapara of such mistakes built into the Torah called Parel Davishal Tzibri. The Beis HaGadol makes a mistake. They paskin incorrectly, and everyone follows them. Everyone's not responsible to bring a carbon. Who's responsible to bring a carbon? The Beis Din. They're the ones that made the mistake. Says the Mishnah in Horios, at the very beginning of Horios, what if you followed the Pesach of the Beis Din, but you knew the whole time that they were mistaken? You know how to learn also. And you saw that they were making a terrible mistake. You followed them anyway. So Mishnah says, now you don't get off scot-free with the Beis Din bringing a carbon. That's your problem. You never should have listened to them. You need to bring a carbon. If you knew that they were wrong, you're chayiv in your own carbon. That's what Ramban writes in Sefer HaMitzvos. So in Shoresh Aleph, in the Shoresh in Sefer HaMitzvos. So Ramban points out, l'chora, that's directly against the Sifri that Rashi quotes. Right? And here the Mishnah tells us in Arios, no! If they tell you, smol shu yamin, don't listen to them! You got to do what's right! You can't just be a robot and follow whatever they tell you! How do you reconcile that, Stephen? So there are a number of different approaches in the Achronim. There is a tshuva in the Malami Dahoil, Chelik Gimel Sim Pei Beis with Rav Tzvi Hoffman. He says, what do you mean? When you have a stira between two sources in Tanayim, we don't call that a stira. What do we call that? A machlokas. Yes, that's a machlokas between the Sifri and the Mishnah. No biggie. We have machlokas. In fact, Rav Shachter always told us that Herman Wook was a professor in Yeshiva University at some point, and he described the idea behind his Pulitzer Prize winning book, The Cain Mutiny. Anyone ever read it? Me neither. Okay. So the Cain Mutiny, he said that the idea behind the book is that Rashi. That Rashi quotes from the Sifri, the idea behind the book is that even when authority is wrong, there's a need for the discipline of following authority. That we have to follow authority figures even when they're wrong. So Shachter often pointed out that l'chora, that is only one pshat in that Rashi and probably not the correct pshat in that Rashi. He probably doesn't mean you have to follow them even when they're wrong, because that's against the Mishnah in Horios. If it is what Rashi means, it's not what we pass on like. Right? We would pass on like the Mishnah in Horios, that you don't follow them when they're wrong. You don't blindly follow someone if you know that they're incorrect. Oh, good, good, good. So this is we'll get there. This is exactly the issue. So there are many suggestions how to reconcile this. So that was Melamed Dehoro. The Ramban says, and this with this we get to Zaken Mamrin. The Ramban says, oh, it all depends. It's not a machlokes between the Sifri and the Mishnah. It all depends. Did you raise your objection with the Beis Nagel? Did you mention it to them? Meaning, it could be sometimes they're missing something. They forgot a source, and they're making a mistake. So if you showed them, look, you're making a mistake, you forgot something, and they said, ooh, you're right. So good, so then you know that you're right. What if you showed them the source, and they said, no, we don't think so, we still think we're right? Do you follow them then? So says the Ramban, once you've showed them your reason to believe that they're wrong, and they still disagree, now you have to be kafuf to them. They have all the information in front of them. They are greater than us. They are the Beis HaGadol. Even if you think they're wrong, then you still follow them. That's the Sifri. Al Yamin Shu Smol Val Smol Shu Yamin. The Mishnah's talking about, you never mentioned it to them. You have a raya that they're wrong. You know that they're wrong. You never brought it up to them. So there's still a reasonable possibility that you're right. and you believe that you're right, that's where the Mishnah says, if you believe that you're right, and they never addressed it, then you're not allowed to follow them. You have to follow what's right, not what they tell you. That's what the Ramban says. This is a very fascinating insight into, and a lot of the Achronim in the beginning of Horios pick up on this. The Rishonim as well, but the Achronim also pick up on this idea that an opinion that was expressed and challenged and defended is much stronger than an opinion that was never challenged. Right, you see what's happening over here? They don't have a little pasuk on something. You never challenge them, but you know that they're wrong. So then they talk are wrong, and you should do what you know to be right. But if you challenge them and they defended themselves, even though you still think that they're wrong, you're wrong. They're right. Because they heard your challenge. Why? The idea is that if they've been challenged and they heard what you had to say, so then that opinion is a stronger opinion because they had all the evidence on the table. If you never challenge them, then maybe they don't know all the evidence. Maybe they're missing something. You have such an idea. This was the part of the debate in the great Smicha controversy of 500 years ago in Sfat. What happened? The people from Gerush Svarad felt that they were chayv kares for some of the things that they did in Spain. And they know that chayv krisa shalaku are niftru midei krisasa. If someone's chayv kares and they get malchus instead of kares, they become pater from their kares. So they wanted to get malchus. So they went to the Rabbanim in Tzfat and they said, give us malchus. The Rabbanim said, no, we don't really do that anymore. Well, why don't you do that anymore? Well, you need a Beis Din and, you know, smicha, and we don't have smicha anymore, ish mi piyish. Whatever we have now is only heter hora'ah based on the sugya in Sanhedrin. Right, you know why? You know that story the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, why it is that a person needs what we call smicha before paskening a shayla? What does the Gemara say?
Because you might not be phrasing it properly.
Exactly, right? It wasn't an issue of lack of knowledge. It was an issue of lack of communication. That the Gemara tells a story that someone came to a town and he saw that they were paskening in that town that meibit sa'im are not machshir lekabel tumah, that swamp waters aren't machshir ochlin to be mekabel tumah. Right? We were just talking about machshir the other day. They're not machshir food to be mekabel tumah. And that's just not true. That's wrong. So he said, what's going on? Why do you guys think that meibit sa'im is not machshir lekabel tumah? And he said, oh, because we had a scholar in residence in our community a while ago and he was a big Talmid Chacham and he came and he told us this. He said, no, that guy knows how to learn. Now, what does that mean? He told you. It turned out he had said, mei beitzim are not machshir lekabel tumah. Mei beitzim, he's like egg whites, are not machshir lekabel tumah. That's actually true, because it's not one of the Zion Mashkin. But they misunderstood him, and they thought he said, mei betzayim. Why did they misunderstand him? Because he was not a great communicator. And it wasn't because he wasn't a great Talmud Chacham. He wasn't a great communicator. So they instituted, okay, no one's allowed to pass on halacha unless you get what's called heter hara'ah, unless you get smicha. Right? What we call smicha. So, and what's the smicha? It's not a written exam, it's not going to help us. It was an oral exam. Make sure that the person could speak clearly and make sure he's able. They never had a havamina that a person would be paskin halachas if he didn't know the answer. It wasn't to test his knowledge, right? Who's going to paskin halacha if they don't know the answer? That would be ridiculous for someone to do that. The havamina was that people aren't going to be able to communicate the correct answer effectively. But that's what we call smicha. That's not real smicha. What's real smicha? Ish mi pi ish from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's real smicha. So that's long gone. We've lost that. We've lost that chain. So comes Rambam Pirushim Shai Misach Sanhedrin and says, how's the Beis Hamikdash going to be rebuilt? We're going to need a Sanhedrin to paskin and the Midos and everything. How are we ever going to be able to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash? It's going to happen before Tchias HaMeisim. So if you need Musmachim to be in the Sanhedrin and you need a Sanhedrin to build the Mikdash, and that's all going to happen before Tchias HaMeisim, how's smicha coming back? Without a musmach, he can't have smicha. So comes the Rambam Pirushim Shai, says the Chiddush Gadol. He says, if you have kol chachmei Yisrael agree to give someone smicha, you got smicha. Meaning there are two ways to get smicha. One is to find a musmach, which you can't do, right? Impossible nowadays, but find a musmach and he'll give you smicha. Another way is that all chachmei Yisrael, they have a big rabbinic convention, I don't know, at the Sima Shas next year or something, they say, give a clap, and they say, all rabbis, please stand up, and, you know, everyone stands up, and they say, do we all agree to give smicha to Rav Chaim Kanievsky? And everyone says, meh, it's pretty good. So we decide we're all going to give smicha to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and then Rav Chaim Kanievsky has smicha. Good, that's how the Rambam says it could work. I mean, give or take the Lashon a little bit, but that's how the Rambam says that smicha could work. So the Rabbanim in Tzfat at the time said, great idea, okay, we'll reinstitute Smicha, we'll start Smicha. So they did. All the Rabbanim Tzfat got together, where the Rav Minyan, a Binyan of Gedolei Yisrael, lived in Tzfat, and they said, we're going to reinstitute the Smicha. They were all Mekubalim or whatever, right? Saying you're a Mekubal from Tzfat is like saying you're an American from America. You know, it's like, they all reinstituted the Smicha, and some great Rabbanim that you're very familiar with had Smicha, the Al-Shech and the Beis Yosef and many others. Good. Rabbanim in Yerushalayim said, wait a second, Ram says you need Kol Chachmei Yisrael. They checked their badges and they said, it says Chacham Yisrael, I'm a Chacham also, right? How come we weren't consulted? And the Rabbanim Tzfat said, oh, sorry, no disrespect intended. Of course we recognize that you're Chacham Yisrael, you're just not as great as us, neither in number nor in quality, and therefore we outvote you, have a nice day. And the Rabbanim Yerushalayim said, wait, I agree, you're greater than us in number and in quality. Chachma uminim. But the halacha that you follow the Rav, here it is, the halacha that you follow the Rav, the Rabbanim Yerushalayim said, is only when the Rav has heard the Miut. If the Rav didn't get to hear the opinion of the Miut, then the Rav is not a valid shita. So you didn't consult with us in advance. And therefore, you don't follow the Rav. In addition, they challenged that Rov isn't enough. You need Kol Chachmei Yisrael, not Rov. They had a lot of challenges, but that was one of their challenges. That's this idea, that if the Beis HaGadol says something, but they were never challenged, never heard otherwise, so their opinion is not as strong. And if you know that they're wrong, follow your opinion. But if Beis HaGadol says something, and they were challenged, and you told them your opinion, and they said, we heard it, you're wrong, we still hold what we hold, then you go with the Beis HaGadol. And you have to go with the Beis HaGadol. You have to trust their judgment. It's like when I teach chassadim sometimes, like a yisod of being a husband, a Jewish husband certainly, is that you have to trust your wife's instincts. That you have to trust that she has better instincts in terms of running a household, raising children, these kinds of things. Trust her instincts more than you trust your own instincts. So Chassan said to me just last week, he's getting married today actually, he said, so wait, so that means like that different Chassan. I have two weddings today. So Chassan said to me, so that means like I never like have an opinion. So like I didn't want to like tell him, you know, right before his wedding that right. So I said, no, you have an opinion. I said like, Lamashul, if I ask of Shachter or Shaila, right? And I learned the sugya, I feel like I know the answer, and he says differently than me. So I tell him, but wait, what about, you know, I think this and that? You know, what about this proof, that proof? And he says, what about it? You're wrong. You know, like he still thinks differently than me. So what's my attitude at that point? I mean, once I've already raised it with him, and he's told me, when I haven't raised it with him, and I feel like I learned the sugya, so like I'm pretty confident I learned the sugya. I know that once I've raised it with him and he's shut it down, and I don't know of any other Gadol B'Yisrael who holds like me, you know, right? He's just shut it down, and he's told me that no, it's incorrect, even though I don't really understand why he shut it down. I don't understand why I'm incorrect. But who do you think I'm going to follow in that situation? I'm not going to follow me. Of course I'm not, because I know that he knows better. I may not see it. To me, it sounds like Yamin Shu small. Small Shu Yamin. But it doesn't matter. I have to follow a small Shu Yamin. So I said, that's the way it is with your wife. When your wife says something, you express your opinion and let her hear it, you know, in a way that's very respectful so she can hear it. And then when she shoots it down, so then, al smol shu yimin, val yimin, val yimin shu smol. Okay, it's a madrega that a person should aspire to. But that's the idea of the Ramban, how to reconcile these two sources. Others suggest different ways to reconcile the sources, but Rav Shechter most often points out the sheet of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Rav Elchanan Wasserman in Kuntros Divrei Sofrim, which is printed in Kovetz Shiurim, says that, no, it's not a stira at all. The Sofri is not talking about where the Rabbanan tell you, al yamin shu smal, because they're making a mistake. If you were to ask the Rabbanan, wait, are you telling me my right hand is my left hand? They would say, correct, that's exactly what we're telling you, that your right hand is your left hand. Meaning, it's not a mistake. They know that they're telling you something that's against the Torah. And the Pasuk of Losasra is telling you, listen to them anyway. Even though they're telling you to go against the Torah. Because the Rabbanan, through that Pasuk, are authorized to make Dinim de Rabbanan against the Torah. Don't blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah is on Shabbos. don't be not a lulav when sukkah is on Shabbos. The Rabbanan are telling you to go against the Torah. That's the Sifri. Mishnah and Horios is where they don't think they're telling you to go against the Torah. They think they're paskining like the Torah, and you know that they're wrong. So Mishnah says, don't do like them when they're wrong. But when they're right, and they're telling you, we are hereby making a gzeira that you are supposed to go against the Torah, then you follow them. Again, b'shev yal, I mean, it's not again, I didn't say it before, but it's only when, it's b'shev yal tase, it's right, it's only, or even b'kum ma'aseh b'hora shah, it's limited, but the Rabbanim have such a right. So that's the right of the Rabbanim. So once we understand that that's how to reconcile, like Rav Elchanan says, that's how to reconcile the Sifri and the Mishnah, so then you understand very well where the Rabbanim got the right. What pasuk in the Torah gives the Rabbanim the right to go against the Torah with their gzeros? Losasu. So it's two different pasukim. To make gzeros in general, shmarti mitzvah shmarti. To go against the Torah with their gzeros? Losasu. Right? That's what it's based on. Rav Yosef Engel suggests that this was a gzeros Moshe Rabbeinu, that they had this right. And that's why it gets incorporated into the Torah, right? The Torah says Yom Trua, and the Torah says Zichron Trua. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tries to reconcile. What is it? Is it Yom Trua, Zichron Trua? Rav Yosef Engel understands that Gemara is saying that it's Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu to not blow Shofar on Shabbos. So Pasha says it's not a Takanas. Moshe Rabbeinu was a much later Takana from the times of Bayesheni. Rav Shachter points out that in the Balatanya writes in the Likutei Torah, in his Rosh Hashanah, that we needed many more gzeros during Bayesheni, because during Bayesheni we didn't have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And when you don't have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, there's a requirement, there's a need for many more gzeros to protect. Now, Bayis Rishon, we did have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, so we didn't need as many gzeros. Oh, the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael during Bayis Rishon, they must have been tzaddikim, tmimim, kadoshim, tahorim, that we didn't require gzeros. No, they were of the Avodah Zarah, right? They were horrific, horrible people. And yet, a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael means something. That's our Yom HaTzmut plug for the day. Right? The Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael means something for the Jewish people, even if the government isn't exactly what we would wish them to be. That alone, says the Baal HaTanya, having no Jewish government during Bayis Sheni meant that we needed other gzeiros. So this was a gzeir mitrabanan to go against the Torah, just like Sadin Betzitzis, right? What's Sadin Betzitzis? That really, the Din D'Oraisa says, if you're wearing a linen garment, you're chayvin tzitzis with tcheles, you can wear wool strings. On a D'Oraisa level, why is that true on a D'Oraisa level? I say d'chelos, I say, right? Come along the Rabbanan, don't put tzitzis on a linen garment. Against the Torah. Torah says you do put tzitzis on a linen garment. Yeah, gzera mishum kala ilan. Your tcheles may not be tcheles, it may not be the genuine article, it may be a forgery. And therefore, you're unnecessarily putting well gzeira mitrabanan against the Torah. Keep Yom Tov Sheni, say the Rabbanim. Keep Yom Tov Sheni. Keep Yom Tov Sheni. What about tefillin? You're not going to put on tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni, right? You're not going to put on tefillin, but mitzvah daraisa put on tefillin, right? But the Rabbanim can be okay, davar Torah. We have a number of examples like this. The Rabbanim have that right. Where does that right come from? From losasu. Now. So what did we say we were going to say? We said we're going to explain gzeros, where the right of the Rabbanim to make gzeros comes from. So we said, okay, that comes from Mishmarti. We said we're going to explain where the right of the Rabbanim to even go against the Torah in their gzeros comes from. That comes from? Losasu. What else did we say we have to explain?
Takanos.
Where do they have the right to make takanos? Takanos are new mitzvahs. They're not protecting anything. So where did the Rabbanim have the right to make takanos? So this is a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara in Shabbos Chaf Kimmel and Sukkah Mem Hei. The Gemara says, you know, there are mitzvahs to Rabbanim. Before we perform mitzvah to Rabbanim, what do? We say bracha. Asher kitzshanu mitzvosav v'tzivanu. Hashem has commanded us to do Mikra Megillah, Ner Chanukah. So the Gemara asks two words, simple question. Heichan tzivanu. Where has he commanded us to listen to this? We're supposed to listen to the Tag Mitzvahs in the Torah. Where does it say to listen to Takanos Mitzvah Rabbanim? To read Megillah. So the very first takana, according to Megillah Daf Yadalid, was to read Megillah. 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os had come and gone without being Mosif or Gorea, anything from what it says in the Torah, until Mikra Megillah came along. Everything prior to that was all Gzeilos. Comes Mikra Megillah, first takana midrabanan, the new mitzvah midrabanan. So where do they get that? So the Gemara gives two answers. One answer is that very same possible Sasmi called Davar Shayigidulcha Yemin Usmal. That's a pasuk that tells me that they're allowed to make takanas. Meaning when they tell you to do a new mitzvah, you have to listen to that. The problem with that pasuk as a source is that the pasuk doesn't seem to be about making new dinim. It really seems to be more about interpreting existing dinim. Meaning in the context of a Zakin Mamre, when it comes to a machlokas about how to interpret the dinim, so the pasuk doesn't seem to be about new dinim. It seems to be about existing dinim. But nevertheless, the Rambam pasuk is that way, that's the source for dinim drabanan, and that's why a Zakin Mamre who goes against the Beis Nagadol, even on dinim drabanan, according to the Rambam, is chayiv misa. Because he's violating Los Sasser. Meaning Los Sasser is about Dinim Drabanan, according to the Rabban. So if Zakin Mamre argues on the basis of God about a Dinim Drabanan, he's Chayv Misa. That is the very Dinim of Los Sasser. The second answer of the Gemara? Exactly. Problem with that pasuk as the source to listen to Rabban is that it seems to be more about history and not about halacha. And that's why it's not quoted by any of the Monei Mitzvahs as a mitzvah. It's just, you want to have an appreciation of your heritage. Shalavicha v'yagedcha. A person has to take advantage. If you have grandparents that are still alive, speak to them. Find out where you come from. A fellow came over to me the other day, a couple of weeks ago actually, and he said to me, he had just lost his mother and his father passed away a number of years ago. And he said, my name is Uri Shimon. I know where my name Uri is from. I have no idea why my name is Shimon. I don't have anyone to ask. Meaning, there comes a time in a person's life where you don't have avicha v'zekenecha anymore to ask. So the Torah tells us, sha'al avicha v'yageidcha, zekenecha v'yomrulach. There are certain things you need to take advantage, you need to ask, avicha, zekenecha, you need to ask these people. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to ask, he asked his aunt, and she remembered, and she knew what he was doing, right? But you have to ask. So the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvah seems to understand this is the real source for Takanas Rabbanan. And therefore he says if Zakin Mamre argues on the basis of Gadol in Dinim Rabbanan, he's not Chayef Misa, because there's no source for that in the Torah. Lil Sasser is not about that, right? Lil Sasser is about interpreting Dinim Daoraisa. So that's the Ramban, right? Ramban L'Shitasa. Rav Elchanan, in contrast to Risofim, develops another idea which we've spoken about so many times, and Rav Asher Weiss has taken this category of Rav Elchanan and like blown it up. Like this is like the, if you know how we said before that there are certain yesodos of certain people's styles in Torah and their chidushim are based on certain yesodos, like this is the yesodos of all of Rav Asher Weiss's Torah, this Rav Elchanan. What does Rav Elchanan say? Pasuk says V'ahavtas Hashem Elkecha, you should love Hashem. So what does it mean to love? We have a couple of chasanim in there, right? What does it mean to love? Have av. So is it that moment, that spark, you see that person with more than a couple of rikhas on them, right? So that spark, you see the person and like, you're overwhelmed with the feeling of warmth and love for the person. Is that the height of love? So that's good. It's a good start. The height of love is years later. You spend so much time with the person. And you've noticed everything about them, and you get to a point where you can know intuitively what they want or what they need in any given situation without them having to tell you, without them having to ask. That is love. Rav Soloveitchik gave a famous haspid for his uncle, the Brisker Rav, and he spoke about having erisin with the Torah and having nisuin with the Torah, and how the Brisker Rav had nisuin with the Torah. Most of us have erisin. We're in love. It's so great. We like learning. It's bad that the Brisker Rav had nisuin with the Torah, that he understood the Ratzon HaTorah without the Torah even having to say it. That there are certain times without Hashem even having to say it explicitly, we know what Hashem wants from us. Sha'al avicha v'yageicha, says Rav Elchanan, zikeinecha v'yomulach. Is there are certain things the Torah doesn't even tell you, but the zikeinim are able to say, it doesn't have to tell me. They have such an intuitive sense of what the Torah wants. Zekenech of Yom Lulach. They'll know. And that's Takanas Midrabanan. That's what this sheet in the Gemara means. That they're able to make Takanas Midrabanan because they have Av HaSashem. They understand the Ratzon HaTorah. That's what they, Mordechai Kamenetsky told me this morning, that he heard from his Zayde, from Yaakov, in the name of the altar of Slobodka. That when they were learning a Rush, a passage in the Rush, where the Rush said something like, I forget, it was Libi Omerli or something like that, that that's better than any rush that brings 10 rayas from 10 different Gemaras. That's a better raya, Libi Omerli, of the rush. Because what does Libi Omerli mean? It means my vast knowledge of everything tells me. My sense of what Torah is tells it. Meaning everything I've ever learned tells me this. As opposed to if I have a Nakuda, so okay, I'll bring a raya from here, a raya from there, a raya from there. That's weaker than a Libi Omerli. You know, the idea of Ratzon Hashem, Rav Chanan points out, Bilam HaRasha, you know, it always bothers us. You read Parshas Balak, and Bilam HaRasha is such a tzaddik. He does exactly what Hashem says. Hashem tells him, don't go. Okay, I'm not going to go. But pretty please, can I? And he won't go until Hashem says it's okay. And then Hashem finally says, okay, so he does. Hashem says, you can go, but you're limited in what you can say. He doesn't say anything he's not allowed to say. Everything, and he tells the people, listen, I can't go until Hashem gives me the right. Everything was doing exactly the Dvar Hashem. Where was the weakness? He wasn't fulfilling Ratzon Hashem. You ask your parent, can I take the car and come back at 3 in the morning? You know, it's really important that I go, whatever. I'm really uncomfortable with you going out. You're an adult, okay? You can do whatever you want, but I'm really uncomfortable with it. So what do you say? So you say, oh, thanks. You said it's okay. All right. So great. Right. That's Dvar. But Ratzon, you know what the Ratzon is. So that's the idea. The Drosh Saran explains that's the idea with the Akedah. Well, it was so challenging about the Akedah. Okay, killing your kid. All right. That's challenging. But, you know, the idea of Mesiras Nefesh and Klal Yisrael was not a one-time event. Says the Drosh Saran, you know what the great challenge of the Akedah was? Hashem never commanded Avraham to do it. Kach, not kach es bincha, kach na es bincha. He didn't say you must. He said, I'd love it if you would. Ooh, that's so much worse. I'd love it if you would. So much worse than you must. Because now, like, you gave me an act. You gave me an excuse. You gave me a reason not to. Says the Drash Saran, that's the godless of Avraham Avinu. The sense of Ratzon HaTorah and wanting to do the Ratzon Hashem. So what did we do so far? We explained where gzeros come from. We explained, right, and where do they come from? Shmarati Mishra Shmarati. We explained where the Rabbanan have the right to go against the Torah. Where does that come from?
Asasar.
We explained where takanos come from. Right, Idol Asasar Shalavicha. And if it's Shalavicha, how Rav Chanan explained, Shalavicha means the Ratzon HaTorah, that the Chum are attuned to Ratzon HaTorah. One more step if you want. Siris Omer? Yeah, no, up to you. Yeah, one more step. Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer is an additional king. In addition to Shalavichu Yagevcha or Lo Sas or whatever it is as a takana, it's an additional king. Why is it an additional king? Because the Gemara in Menachos tells us, Daf Samach Vav, that Ameimar was Mani Yomi V'lo Mani Shvui Amar Zecha L'Mikdashu. He only counted days, he didn't count weeks, because he said, it's a Zecha L'Mikdash. That is a very strange Gemara. Because it's only Zecha L'Mikdash, I'm not going to go through the trouble and the burden of counting weeks. Anyone ever find it burdensome to count the weeks? I mean, it is a very, very easy mitzvah to do. You're counting already anyway, right? Skip the paragraphs afterwards, you know, just count the weeks. Like, it's so easy to do. What's so difficult about that? And also, if we're going to make a Zecher LeMikdash, it's counterintuitive. If you're going to make a Zecher LeMikdash, make a Zecher LeMikdash. Do it the way they did in the Mikdash. And guess what? In the Mikdash they did days and weeks. So what's going on? Mani Yom V'lo Mani Shvui. So Shechter and Pnei Rav, Page Reish Pezayin in the earlier version of Pnei Rav has been republished in Kuntra Sfira Zomer. He has a Kuntra Sfira Zomer. And this idea, by the way, we've said it here many times, and for some of you this is like Chazara, third or fourth time over probably, but it's an idea that you know is MS. Why do you know it's MS? One indicator of when an idea is absolutely MS is if it comes from different corners of the Torah world who had no exposure to each other and didn't talk it over with each other. And the same chiddush has come from everywhere. Right? So this chiddush comes from Rav Soloveitchik. I saw it in Minchas Asher, who claims never to have ever learned any of Rav Soloveitchik's Torah. He's a Klausenberger Rebbe's Talmud. Right? So it comes from Minchas Asher. And I saw it in Rav Matzion Solomon's Sefer as well. Gates and Lakewood, pretty confident, never learned Rav Soloveitchik's Torah, right? Or Minchas Asher, for that matter, probably. And yet, all of them were miyaseid, the same idea, with the same rayas, same nafkaminas, everything. It's unbelievable. It's like each one wrote each other's. So you know an idea is endless. Plus, when you hear it, it's obviously endless. What's the idea? The idea is as follows. There is a concept of Zecher L'Mikdash that comes up in a couple of places in Shas. The Gemara, for example, tells us in Maseches Sukkah, Mishnah, Rishon Ayu Lulav Nitho B'Mikdash Shiva B'Medini Yamecha. It used to be that we would take Lulav in the Mikdash for 7 days, because that's what the Torah says to do. And outside of the Mikdash for 1 day. Why? Because that's what the Torah says to do. Misha Charev Beis HaMikdash, after the Churban HaBayis, Siskin Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai, Shei Lulav Nitho B'Medina Kol Shiva. Rabbi Yochum and Zakkai made a takana in the post-Churban era that we take Lulav Kol Shiva. Why? Zecher LeMikdash. And then he made another din, Vishay Yom Henef Kulo Asir, that the entire second day of Pesach is Nesrof Chadash. Fine. Says the Gemara, Minalan Davdinan Zecher LeMikdash, how do I know you make a Zecher LeMikdash? So Gemara says, Am Rav Yochum, Damar Kratz, a Pasuk in Yirmiyom, Ki El Arach Olach Machusecha Rapecha Num Hashem, Ki Nidchu Karlach Tzion Hi, Doresh Ein La. That the Navi laments that there is no one being Doresh Tzion. Doresh Eimla, Mechlal, Baya Drisha. We need to be Doresh Tzion. We need to seek out Tzion. And the way we do that is by making a Zecher LeMikdash. Wonderful. So now I know the source for Zecher LeMikdash. It appears in Pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we have to be Doresh Tzion. Comes along Gemara in Babasra Dav Sabach and Beis at the very end of Cheskos Avatim. And the Gemara tells us, a Braisa, Keshachar Vabayis Beshnir. When the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, people were lost. They had no idea how to react. Imagine the last 420 years you had a Beis HaMikdash. And Avodas Hashem meant, you know, that was the focal point of Avodas Hashem. Everybody's Avodas Hashem was centered on that. And then you wake up one fine morning and it's not there anymore. Lost. They were spiritually lost. Avodas Hashem, as they knew it, was over. So what did they do? So Rabbu Prushim B'Yisrael Shalalech L'Basar V'Shalal L'Shalas Yayin. They decided, no more meat, no more wine. How could we eat meat? There's no longer, the Mizbeach's not eating meat anymore. How could we drink wine? The Mizbeach doesn't have anymore. So, Amar Lahan, Rabbi Shua, Nitpal and Rabbi Shua, Amar Lahan, Rabbi Shua said to them, by that logic, he said, Lechem lanocha, because there's no more menachos. How could you eat bread? They said, you're right. We'll subsist on peros. So he said, nah, Peros is not going to work either, because we don't have Bikurim anymore. So they said, you're right! We'll have the delicious Peros, not the ones from Bikurim, dates and figs and stuff. We'll have like apples and oranges. We'll still be okay. Bikurim is only, right, the Shivas Aminim. So we'll be all right. We'll do that. Pomegranates are delicious. We'll do okay, we'll give that up. But, you know, so Efshar Peros Achim. So he said, Mayim Lanishte. Shekvar Belt Nisach Mayim. They can't drink water because there's no more Nisach HaMayim. So they said, Shasku. They had no response. So Amalan Bini Bov Amalachem. He said, let me tell you how it is. Shalol L'Sabel Kol Iker Yefshar. You can't not be Mesabel because we have to be Mesabel. L'Sabel Yosem Yidai Yefshar, but you can't, your life can't end. Goes in Gzer Al Tzibra, Al-Kein Rav Tzibri Chol Namad Ba. Rather, what do you do? Kacham Ruchacham. You're going to build a brand new house in Chutz La'aretz, right, or anywhere, and you'll leave out an Amma by an Amma, right? Can I get a Pesach? You go on a Pesach program, everything you could want, right? There's the pre-breakfast barbecue, the post-breakfast barbecue, the pre-lunch barbecue, but at that barbecue, one less hot dog, right? You have to leave a little bit off. I saw on Twitter that David Weinberg tweeted that he was in Williamsburg the other night and he learned the slang in Williamsburg when you order two hot dogs with all the works. You saw this? He said the way they order two hot dogs with all the works is Tzvai Pnei Yashiyaz Me'ala Mefarshim. Apparently Pnei Yashiyaz was the Rav in Frankfurt. Tzvai Pnei Yashiyaz to Frankfurters. Me'ala Mefarshim. Okay, I think which is like the greatest slang ever. So it goes on. A woman makes all the tarchitim, leaves out a little something. What else? the Efer Mekla al Rosh Chasanim, he put some ashes. And the Gemara says, okay, what's the pasuk? Where does it say to do this? Imishka. So you're about to say, oh, Zechel Migdash. I know the pasuk of that. I learned Sukkah. And what does it say in Sukkah? What's the source for Zechel Migdash? Tzioni. Dorei Sheinla. That's got to be what the Gemara is about to say. And you read further, pasuk in Yeshayahu. Right? Pasuk in Tehillim, rather. Imashkachech Yerushalayim tishkachi mini tidbak lishon min lechiki. You can't forget Yerushalayim. Why do you need pasuk in Tehillim? We just had a perfectly good pasuk in Yirmiyahu. And more than that, none of the examples are the same. In Sukkah, the examples of Zechel HaMikdash are Lulav and Yamanef Kulos. And yet in Baal Basra, nothing like that. It's how to build your house, how to set your table, how to adorn, how a woman should adorn herself, how a man should be when he's a chassan. But nothing like that. So okay, you don't need to be the biggest brisker in the world. You don't need to have been Rav Soloveitchik to figure out that if there are two gemaras with two entirely different sets of examples and two psukim that these dinim are based on, that what do you have? Tzvei dinim. Right? It's like you don't need to be the biggest brisker in the world. You didn't need to be Rav Soloveitchik to find Svei Dinim here. And that's, Rav Asher Weiss said it, Rav Matzio Solomon said it. They all realize it's Svei Dinim here. And what are these Svei Dinim? How do we categorize these Svei Dinim? So the way Rav Soloveitchik said it, his melitza was that even though they both use the term Zecher the Migdash, sometimes the very same words in two different places mean different things. That's the Yisod in Torah Shebal Peh. That Chazal will use the same words in different places and it means different things. And we always give the example, what's the classic example? Chazaka. Chazaka means five or six different things throughout Shas, same exact word. Sometimes different words mean the same thing, and sometimes the same words mean different things. So what it says Zechel HaMikdash in both places, they're two totally separate things. The din of Masechta Sukkah is remember the Beis HaMikdash in its glory, and therefore do like they did. Remember the glory of the Mikdash, when we used to take Lulav Kol Shiva. So we should still keep this hanhaga of taking Lulav Kol Shiva, because we know that one day it's going to be rebuilt, and we're continuing to practice like that. The Gemara in Baba Basra is not talking about Zecher HaMikdash, it's talking about Zecher L'Chorban, to bring us down a little bit. Remember that life is not complete, and therefore nothing in our life should be complete. Our houses aren't complete, our tables aren't complete, our chasanas aren't complete. Nothing should be complete without the Beis HaMikdash, because it's with a sense of sadness, a sense of avelus, a sense of bringing down the simcha. Two different psukim. Tzion hidor shema mechal dvay drisha, that's the positive. Remember the glory of the Mikdash. And imeshka chik yushayim tzvak zon lichiki, right? So that's zecher l'chorban. Pasuk in Eicha, Perek Aleph, zichri yushayim yimei aniya umrudeha kol machmadeha. So the Ibn Ezra on the pasuk explains that what it's telling us is during Yimei Aniya Umarudeha, during the days when Yerushalayim is desolate and terrible, then you should remember Kol Machmadeha. You should remember how beautiful it was. Says Rav Shechter, based on this, we understand differently. It's not saying during the days of Aniya Umarudeha, you should remember Kol Machmadeha. It's telling you to remember two things. Zachra, what should you remember? Yerushalayim, both in Yimei Aniya Umurudeha and Kol Machmadeha. You have to remember both elements of Yerushalayim. Remember its glory and remember its destruction. It seems like a Tarti Desasri. It's not a Tarti Desasri. We have Zechel Mikdash and we have Zechel Churban. So how does that go back to explain Amemar and his Sfiris Omer? Ooh, what was Amemar doing? He was saying, so we think of Sfiris Omer. Yeah, it's a Takanami Drabanan. The way we pass in that it's only Dindra Barim Zman Azad. That's what we pointed out. Shnorbach holds that when you say that little paragraph before Sfira Zomer and you say, Hini Mukhar Mazum, Kai Mitzvah Shal Sfira Zomer, Kamosh Kaz Vator, Svarti Mukhar Machar Sal Shabbos, Shnorbach says you're a shakran. You are not about to be Mekai Mitzvah Kamosh Kaz Vator. What should you say? Mishum Shanem. Because Mishum Shanem, the Gemara Bechor, Steph Test, tells us that Mishum Shanem is a lashon that we use to mean a Dirabana. But the pasuk alludes to, but it's really a drabbanan. So it's only a drabbanan with the way we pass in bisman hazeh. So what kind of drabbanan is that? Takana for sure, and zechel mikdash for sure, right? Zechel mikdash, because they used to count when they had a carbon omer. We don't have a carbon omer. We still count zechel mikdash. What kind of zechel mikdash is it? Zechel churban or is it zechel mikdash? So pashup shat, we would have said zechel mikdash. we're doing what they did in the Mikdash. Comes along a Meimer, and he says, no, Zecher L'Churban. How do I make it Zecher L'Churban? Don't do exactly what they did in the Mikdash. Take away a piece of it. And that's why, of all the things that are Zecher L'Mikdash, you know, after you take Lulav on day two of Yantif, do you say, no, there's no such lesson. Yet, Balei Tosfos point out, after Sfira, they don't have Harachim on Nevi Yiratzon, it's a little bit of a different Nusach, but the same idea, that after Sfira, what do? We daven for the return of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? I don't do that by the other Zecher HaMikdash. Because when it comes to Sfira, we're saying it's incomplete. We didn't do the mitzvah right. It's sadness. When it comes to Lulav, it's happiness. We're ready. So that's why we have the takana of the Arachman in that context, not the other context. That, says Rav Shecht B'Shem Rav Salvechik, might explain why we have Nihuge Avelus during Sfira. Why do we have Nihuge Avelus during Sfira? Everyone knows the Gemara Nivamas. Why do we have Nihuge Avelus during Sfira? Tamid Rabbi Akiva. So first of all, Rav Shecht loves to quote Rabbi Henkin about this. Rav Henkin, Zichron Lebracha, said that we know how the Talmid Rabbi Akiva died, and it wasn't because of Lo Nagu Kavaz Evesef. How did Talmid Rabbi Akiva die? Rebelling against the Romans. Bar Kochav rebellion. They were all killed. So Rav Henkin said, yeah, but they couldn't write that. So they had to make up something ridiculous. So they said, Lo Nagu Kavaz Evesef. Wink, wink. Wild, no? Like, you'd have to throw out, like, so much Torah. Rav Shechter loves that. He thinks that that's, like, the Pashtus. That it has nothing to do with Talmid Rabbi Akiva. So where does the Avelis come from? It has nothing to do with Talmid Rabbi Akiva, really? Well, I mean, it would still have something to do with Talmid Rabbi Akiva, but there are two other possibilities of where the Avelis comes from. The Zohar has a different idea of where the Avelis comes from. The Zohar says, because the 7 weeks of Sfira correspond to Shiva Nikiyim, 7 days that a woman has to count before going to the mikveh. So when a woman is tameh, she has shivinikim. Tuma is associated with avelus, because tuma and avelus are both distance from Hashem, certain distance. When one is tameh, they can't call the fnei Hashem; they're not allowed in the mikdash. The definition of simcha always is the fnei Hashem. Right, you have a mitzvah simcha in regalim. Why? Because in regalim mismachtem lefnei Hashem. You go lefnei Hashem. Even Rosh Hashanah, the tkiyah is kilefnim dami. So that's why there's a mitzvah simcha in Rosh Hashanah also, right? That there's this concept of simcha is lefnei Hashem. Tuma takes you away from lefnei Hashem. Therefore, it has avelus. But according to what we're saying, there may be a third element of avelus, and that is the mikdash. That without a carbon omer, we passed in the whole mitzvah sphere as only the Rabbanim. But how did the Rabbanim make this din? Not as a din, as a zecher l'mikdash, but as a zecher l'churban. So we have 7 weeks of zecher l'churban. And in that sense, we have a certain sense of avelus, because it's zecher l'churban. That is the idea. And I think so again, to quickly chazer everything that we just said, that where did the Rabbanim get the idea that you can make Gezeres midrabanan? So we saw that comes from the pasuk of Vishmarti Vishmarti as Gemara Nivamas. Where did they get the idea that they could even make gezeres against what it says in the Torah? Well, Sasser. If you are miyashev the Sefri that Rashi quotes with the Mishnah and Horios in that way, then it comes from Lo Sasser. Where did they get the idea that you can make takanos midrabanan? That comes from either Lo Sasur or Shalavicha V'Yagedcha. If it comes from Shalavicha V'Yagedcha, it's best to understand, like Rav Elchanan, that it's the Ratzon HaTorah, that it's the intuitive sense of what, that the Rabbanan have the intuitive sense of what Hashem wants. And we pointed out, but in addition to those kiyumim of all Tekarnas Rabbanan, Gzeres Rabbanan, Sfiras Omer has an additional kiyum, a kiyum of either Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La or Imeshka Chich Yerushalayim. Pashup Shat, you would think it's about Tzion Hi Doresh Ein La, that it's about Zecher Le Mikdash, but it could be that it's about Imeshkachech Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yimini, Tishkach Yerushalayim, Imoas Kerechi, that it's about the idea of Zecher L'Churban. And if it's about Zeichu L'Chorban, we can explain a number of things about Sfiras HaOmer. Why there's a Harachman right afterwards, why a Memar thought it's appropriate not to count the weeks, why it is that there's Avelus during Sfira. So all of that to help us understand the nature of Dinim D'Rabbanan, particularly Sfiras HaOmer. Okay, I went a little long.